Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 30 of One Question with Pastor Adam. And I'm Adam, and I'm pastor to believers and doubters, to unfaithful Christians and faithful atheists. Jesus wasn't afraid of questions, and neither are we. So each week on this podcast, we will explore one question that you have sent me over Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We will explore questions that you might be afraid to ask someone else. Some topics include the Bible, heaven and hell, who is Jesus, and do you have to be a Christian in order to be saved? If you have questions, hit me up over on social media, either on my pages, the Raven Foundation pages, or the Clackamas United Church of Christ pages. Our question today comes from Ulfar, and Ulfar asks this really great question that I'm seeing all around these days, and he says this: "It is my understanding of the Bible that through Christ's sacrifice, he fulfills the Old Testament, thereby making it null and void as he ushers in the laws of the New Testament. Why are Christians still claiming that Old Testament doctrine is valid today?" And Ulfar, I want to thank you for asking this really great and also really complicated question, because there's a lot going on in it. And I'm seeing statements like this throughout progressive Christianity too. Statements like Old Testament versus New Testament, and also First Covenant versus Second Covenant. And the danger in this is that it pits Christianity and progressive Christianity against Judaism. It pits the New Testament against the Old Testament. And I believe that is not at all what Jesus came to do. So I want to invite us as Christians to be really careful when we talk about First Covenant and Second Covenant and Old Testament and New Testament, because you see the same strands running throughout both Testaments. And here's how I want to lay this out. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves is, how did Jesus fulfill the law? Later on in the Gospel of Matthew, some of Jesus's opponents come to him and they say to Jesus, "What is the most important commandment in all of Scripture?" And this is a common question in Judaism. There are so many laws in Judaism, 613 of them, that the question is, what is the essence of all of this? This is a common question from ancient Judaism until today. What is the point of all of this? And Jesus answers that it all boils down to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And where does Jesus get those commandments from? He gets them from Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. So Jesus does not go against the Old Testament or his Hebrew scriptures. He goes right to the heart of it. And he says, this is what it's all about. It's all about love. Now, it's important to point out that Jesus is not the only first century rabbi to go to the heart of Judaism and say that the heart of it is love. For example, a 20th century rabbi, Abraham Joshua Heschel, has a book called Heavenly Torah, or you might translate that as Heavenly Law, right? What is the heavenly law? Well, Heschel brings up a first century rabbi named Rabbi Akiva. And Heschel says this about Akiva: "Rabbi Akiva's enduring message was this: the central doctrine of Torah is contained in the verse, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Jesus and Rabbi Akiva are two first century Jewish teachers of the law. And they say that the heart of the law comes from this book called Leviticus. And it's love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's this tradition within Judaism that says if you want to find the heart of something, look at the middle of it. And the Torah is often defined as the five books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And what is the middle of the five books of Moses? It's Leviticus. And what is, according to this ancient rabbinic tradition, what is the heart, the essence, the middle of Leviticus? It's love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Jesus both say, yes, you can find laws all over the place in the Hebrew scriptures that aren't about love. But what does it all boil down to? It all boils down to this one commandment, to love. Every other commandment should be read through the lens of love. Now, getting back to Jesus, because Ulfar asks this really great question, and he puts it in the form of sacrifice. Jesus's sacrifice fulfills the Old Testament. I believe this is true, but that doesn't negate the Old Testament. By Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament, he takes the essential teachings of the Hebrew scriptures and lives them out to the ultimate degree. And how does he do that? Jesus offers himself to us in the spirit of non-violent love. This not only fulfills the commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself, but it also fulfills Hosea, who says that God desires mercy, steadfast love, and not sacrifice. Jesus fulfills this to the ultimate degree because Jesus refuses to sacrifice someone else in order to save himself. When Jesus says that to love your neighbor as yourself means ultimately to love all your neighbors, including those who you might call your enemies, this is how you do it. God does not want sacrifice. And you can find sacrifice throughout the Hebrew scriptures, and you can also find this steadfast love and mercy throughout the Hebrew scriptures. And how does Jesus fulfill it? He lives into the mercy strand. He refuses to respond to violence with violence of his own, and instead he responds with forgiveness and love and mercy. So one of the worst things that Christians can do is fall back into this trap of sacrifice by saying that Christianity is good and Judaism is bad, or New Testament is good and Old Testament is bad. Because when we fall into that trap, we fall into the very thing that Jesus came to save us from. And you see this trap in the New Testament as well. For example, there are laws that say that women should not teach or preach in church. This is a way of sacrificing, of dividing men and women against each other, by saying that men have some kind of God-given gift that women don't have. And so, yes, we have to acknowledge that that law is in the New Testament. But you know what else is in the New Testament? In Jesus' resurrection, Mary comes to him and Jesus says, Mary, go teach my brothers about the good news of my resurrection. Mary teaches the men about the risen Jesus. When Paul sends his letter to the Romans to Rome, he sends it with a woman named Phoebe, and Phoebe would have taught in the churches what this letter was all about, what exactly Paul was trying to say, and she would answer questions that people would have for her. Paul says that in Christ there is no longer male or female, for you are all one in Christ. So Ulfar, just to summarize, I think what Jesus ultimately came to do was to show us that in God there is only love. As 1 John says, God is love, and God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. In God there is no exclusion. In God there is only acceptance and love, and God tries to get us to repent of the ways in which we exclude and harm one another. And where does Jesus get this from? He doesn't get this by going against his Jewish tradition. He gets it by going to the very heart of his Jewish tradition, to the very heart of the law, which is to love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So friends, that is it for today. Thank you, Ulfar, for the really great question. And thank you everyone for listening. If you have questions, hit me up over on social media, either at my personal pages or the Raven Foundation pages or the Clackamas United Church of Christ pages. And if you want more content, check me out at ravenfoundation.org, where we explore life, faith, and mimetic theory. And hey, always remember, your faith and your doubts are holy. So join me next time as we continue to explore your questions.